Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, thank you, thank you so very much. As we come upon this day that we celebrate as Thanksgiving, Lord, I just thank you for this time that you've given us here at Good Shepherd Baptist Church, Lord. It's going on 5 years, Lord, that you brought us into existence. And we know this only because of your grace and your mercy that any of us are here, dear Heavenly Father. It's your call. And we just want to be faithful to the things that you have given us. The song they just sang, I am so blessed, my soul is at rest. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for everything. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for each member, each friend that's here in this congregation today, Lord. Lord, I'm asking that you look upon their lives, Lord. Lord, see what needs to be straightened out. And then just work in us, Lord. Work through us and point us in your direction. And then, Lord, for some of us, we just need somebody else to come alongside of us just with a word of encouragement, Lord. Sometimes when you just think about, maybe if I want to just beat them down a little bit more, just change your mind. Let the Lord change your spirit and give them a word of encouragement instead. And, Lord, I just thank you for that. And dear Heavenly Father, I just pray for this nation, Lord. This nation is upside down right now. But, Lord, you're still in control, and I'm so thankful that you're in control, Lord. I want you to fix our president, fix our Congress, fix our Senate, fix our judges, Lord. But then, Lord, I know that that won't start till you fix me. Fix us first, Lord, that we might be able to do what we need to do in this nation. You bless us with the greatest nation on the face of the planet, Lord. You bless us with a nation where we actually have a say-so in what's going to take place. And I just thank you for that. And I don't want anybody here to take for granted that the liberties and the freedoms that we have in the United States of America, because we are a blessed, blessed nation. And Lord, as we come to you today, breaking the bread of life, to look into your word and see what's here that we might take away, that we might put it in our little satchel and tuck it away in our heart, that we might be able to live a little bit better and walk a little bit stronger and speak a little bit more truth, Lord. Show us today what we need to do, and we'll be forever grateful. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it all. Amen. Church. Good Shepherd. Just love it. Absolutely love it. If you would, turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms. If you might have noticed, we didn't read the 100th Psalm today, and we didn't read the 100th Psalm today because we're preaching the 100th Psalm today. So we will be reading it. So if you would, please turn your Bibles to the 100th Psalm, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 5. But before we get there, let me give you a little bit of introduction. I won't keep you long today. What we did was very important for the saints to be able to get to just say out what God has done in your life. That's big. And we're going to rejoice with you. And this is a good day. So, but I won't keep you too long today. But I want you to turn to Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5. We're going to be talking about let there be thanksgiving. Let there be thanksgiving. We're coming upon a day this coming Thursday where historically we have chosen as a nation to celebrate this day of Thanksgiving. But a lot of people don't know how this all came into being. And I'm not going to belabor how all it came about, but I got to let you know, the day of Thanksgiving came about because of a group of people called the Pilgrims. Well, they teach you that. They tell you it's the Pilgrims. Well, the Pilgrims hit the new land, New England, America. The Pilgrims hit this country in about 1620. And it's really interesting that the Pilgrims came to America and they landed on Plymouth Rock over in New England. And they landed there because they were ran out of Europe because they were preaching the Bible. The people in England did not want to hear what they had to say. The people were called the Puritans. And I don't agree with everything that the Puritans taught, but I'm telling you, they were Bible-believing Christians. And the Puritans would preach the Bible, and the people would get upset with them and ultimately ran them out of town. Now, for us, what's really sad is the joke. If somebody wants to make fun of you, they'll call you a Puritan. You're a goody-two-shoes. You're one of them Bible-thumping people. These are the people that helped found the nation, y'all. The nation was founded on Christianity, Judeo-Christian principles. Whether you like that or not, that's a historical fact. The people, well, what about the Indians? What about the Indians? They got the gospel too, because God brought the Puritans to America. It is so ironic that Christianity was being silenced in Europe. The Puritans came to America to found a new land based on the truth of the Bible. And what's happening in 2013? The same thing that happened in Europe that drove the Puritans out of Europe. The Christian message every day is being assaulted. The truth of the Bible, not only is it being questioned, but it's being challenged and it's being assaulted on every level. I won't even go into some of them. But they want to silence the people who teach and believe the Bible, the Christian message. And the challenge for us as Christians is, once you know this word, when are you going to act on it? When are you going to come under conviction that my way of doing things is a direct contradiction of what's in this book? That's why we don't like it. That's why we don't like when the preacher says, husband, one wife. That's why we don't like it when the preacher says, husbands, stand up, step up, and be the man that God called you to be in your house. We don't like that. Women, submit yourself to your husband. We don't like that. But who knows the beginning from the end? God. And he says, if you'll do things my way, though you can't see it, it's always right. And it's always the best way. Always. And anytime we deviate from his plan, there's always repercussions. Always repercussions. Young folks, start now. Practice now. Young men, practice being a man. It ain't magic. It's submission. You can't lead your house until you submit to God. If we haven't submitted to God, guess what we're going to do with our house? We're going to lead our house crazy. And then we're going to sit there and say, man, everybody in this house is crazy. It's because you're crazy. But if we'll submit to the will and the word of God, then our wives won't have any problem submitting to our leadership. But first, we've got to lead. See, that's how God gets us to understand. You know, we're quick to say to the wife, submit, 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 submit. Well, she says she wants you to know how it feels. So the way you know how it feels, you submit to God. Then you know how she feels, and you won't be so quick with that hammer. We've got to start being people of the book. That's what they call the Puritans, people of the book. They ran them out of Europe to silence them. They came to the new land. They came to the new land and they started preaching and teaching the gospel. And somewhere shortly after they got here, I think it was the second winter, I'm not sure, they survived with the help of the Native American Indians that were here. And this is, and the Thanksgiving is not a Native American, it's not a natives, the Indians thing. It's a Christian thing. It was a feast where they thanked God for delivering them through that horrible winter. And we just spent a little bit of time here with the congregation about people thanking God for some of the things that he had delivered them through. And I want you to know, he's delivered you through much. He's delivered all of us through much, but he's only just begun. He's just getting started. And the more that you and I yield, the more we get out of his way, you don't know what God will do in your life when you finally get out the way. It's so horrible when God gets to our heart and he sees these detour signs that we put. You say, you know, go over to him, fix him. I'm okay. No, no, that's not his thing. No, no. He let him into your heart, and he'll do what he has to do. Let's go on here. Let's get started here. Psalm 100. Title is Let There Be Thanksgiving. Verses 1 through 5. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Or as my wife would say, with singing. Okay. My kids have to endure that. But anyhow, but joy, the Lord puts that spirit in your heart. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Okay, today we talk about let there be thanksgiving. We're going to start off with verse one. It's just, this breaks out really nicely into, it's five verses. There's five captions for a caption for each verse. The first one is the prerequisite to praise. The prerequisite to praise. When you look at these five verses, they are so powerful because these five verses are the culmination of, if you start in Psalms 93, when you're dealing with music, you have a crescendo where the music starts off down here and then it builds up. And then when you get to the top, it goes pow. Well, that's what Psalms 91 is to the one starting with Psalm 93 up to 1. It just breaks out with everything. It breaks out no holes barred. He says the prerequisite to praise. And look how he starts off. He starts off with a command. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. He says, that's the shout that you get when the king walks into the room. The king is coming. The king is coming. I watch people watch footage of JFK. You know, that's been going on all week long. When JFK came into town, people were falling and stumbling. They just wanted to get hit because a president is the closest thing we have to a king. They just want to see him. They just want to touch him. They just wanted to hear him. And they said, you know, it's JFK. Well, y'all, how about the maker of JFK? Can I get a shout for the maker of JFK? Can I get a shout? Everybody goes down to Jerry Jones. We call it Jerry World, but it's AT&T Stadium, the football stadium. And people go in there and they go, ooh. And I mean, even when I walked in there, because I love construction, I love architecture. When I walked in there and I took the tour, and I was, ooh, man, this place is impressive. This place is an architectural wonder. And people say, oh, Jerry, man, you're so what? How about a shout for the man who gave Jerry his brains? It's God, y'all. We get all tripped out over movie stars. Movie star coming to town, y'all go crazy. Rapper going, come into town, some of y'all, not all of y'all. Some of y'all, oh man, did you hear how come everybody's little somebody? I'm sorry, it's just one of those things. Every rapper I know is little somebody. But we just trip out. We see him, we hear him. Oh man, did you see all that gold here? He had all that bling. What about the maker of him? Where'd that bling come from? Who created the bling? Can't I get a cheer for the one who created the bling? Instead of the one who had to buy the bling? He says, make a joyful shout. When you hear the name of Jesus, when you hear about the Lord, you make a shout. That's what I like about hearing your testimonies, because I could just feel and I could just hear where some people saying, when y'all said, I got a little nervous first, but when y'all said, I could talk all day. Get that microphone, say, I could talk all day. Because I know it's true, because God has done something in your life. If you're alive today, if you are here, God has done a work in your life. And he says, when I've done something, the only way anybody else is going to know that I've done it, you got to tell them. You know how come I know that AT&T football stadium is down there? Because Jerry got on TV saying, I'm going to make the biggest stadium in town. He told the whole world. He blew it up. He put ads. He put all this stuff. Jesus said, I'm going to change your life. He said, if you will yield to me, First off, if you believe that I came, I died, and I rose from the dead, he goes, I will save your soul. Whoa, you mean, what about, but what do I have to change, Lord? What do I have to stop doing? I saved you while you was nasty. So don't worry about me kicking you out because you're nasty. What you got to understand is I'm not going to leave you nasty. I'm going to work on you. He says, I'm the potter and you're the clay. Y'all ever watch those guys on TV on one of those networks where they're, and they got the pottery going around and, ooh, ooh, ooh. And then every once in a while, the pottery gets kind of out of whack. They go, smack it back down. Ooh, 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 ooh. Some of y'all getting smacked, ain't you? I've been beat. But see, I'm not like y'all. I said, uncle. I cried. Okay. I can't take a beating like some folks. And some of y'all can take a beating. I'm sorry, but I took my lumps. But at a certain point, I said, I can't take this no more. I can't take this no more. I like being married. I like having children that got some sense. I like working. I got to change. Either I could tell my wife to change, my boss to change, my kids to change, my neighbors to change, or maybe I could change. Maybe I could let God do a work in me, and then maybe my wife would change, my kids would change, my job would change. The prerequisite to praise. Before I can start doing those things, I just got to shout and say, God, you're so good. God, you're so mighty. God, you love me so much that you let your son die for a wretch like me. God, you're so good. He says, praise him. And he says, let all the land praise him. See, we know most of the Old Testament is written specifically to the Jewish community. But look what he's saying here in this psalm. He said, let the whole earth. He said, he's anticipating, because in Luke chapter verse 19, chapter 33, chapter 19, verse 37, he talks about how the shout that they made is very similar to when Jesus was walking in with his triumphal entry. And they shouted for him. And he says, if you don't shout out, if you don't cry out, if you don't let somebody know about me, God says, I'll make the rocks do it. He said, I'll make the rocks do it. He said, but I'm giving you an opportunity. Even in our lowest ebb, y'all, even when we're on a sick bed. And you know what? If you keep living long enough, you're going to be on that sick bed. But you know what? I told y'all about one of the brothers from Mount Olive that I went to see him when he was on his way out, y'all. He was on his way out. And I come in there, and I was a young preacher. I didn't know. I'm trying to cheer him up. I'm maybe going to tell him a couple jokes or something. And I'm just talking with him, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, surely he wants me to cheer him up with something. You know what he want me to cheer him up with? He said, take me over there to the book of John. He said, tell me about eternal security. He said, tell me about how he says, you're in my hands, and I'm in the Father's hands. And no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter how you do it, you can't get out of my hands. He said, tell me about that, Will. Tell me about that. That's what happens when you got Jesus. When you got Jesus, you want to praise him and know him and talk about him all the time. Jesus says here in verse 1, he says, let all the nations, let all the lands shout out to him. He told the Jews in the New Testament, he told them that he had other sheep. They aren't his only sheep. He's including us. Even back here in the book of Psalm, he's including us. He's saying, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. He's saying, church, saints of God, stop looking at what you don't have. That's so difficult for us. Because we got a TV set sitting there showing us how lacking we are. Look, he's got this. You got this. They got this. They got that. And look at you. You're a slug. You sit there, you're living in a two-room house. Come on, you need a four-bedroom house. You need a 4,000 square foot house. Now, if you can afford that, that's okay. But if you can't, why don't you look at your two rooms and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I might get to add a half bathroom. Thank you, Jesus. Praise him. Stop worrying about what you don't have. Praise him for what you do have and what all he's done and the mighty works that he's done for you. I want you to stop and think, the fact that you're here today, the fact that somebody is listening to this on the internet, I had a mother and a father who loved me and took me to church. They didn't know anything about let them decide for themselves. See, they hadn't read the latest shrink books about let them find their own religion. They didn't know nothing about that, see. All they knew is that Jesus saved me and I'm going to take my kid to church. Some of y'all, just start thanking him. Thank him for your mama. Thank him for your daddy. Some of you raised by single parents, thank him for the one who stayed and stopped complaining about the one who left. Thank him. Thank him. Some folks had the misfortune that every parent bailed out on them. But thank him for that auntie or that uncle who came alongside and taught you about Jesus. Some of us didn't even have an auntie and an uncle who told us about Jesus. Some of us had a coworker who pulled you to the side and said, let me tell you about Jesus. See, that's the problem with people telling Christians not to give the message in public. Give somebody the word of God, would you please? Because you don't know what their situation is. Thank God for that coworker. Thank God for that classmate. Thank God for that cellmate. Somebody told you about Jesus, or you wouldn't be here today. So whoever it was, and what under any circumstance, do y'all ever stop to think about how many people are saved in prison? We say, well, preacher, we don't have a prison ministry. Yes, we do. Sister Marilyn runs our prison ministry. But I want you to go back even farther than the prison ministry that Good Shepherd is doing. I want you to go back to Paul and Silas. Don't you know they had a prison ministry? Think of all the men who were locked up in those cells when Paul and Silas start singing praises to God. They're in jail. They're possibly going to be executed. And they're in jail singing, praising, telling people about Jesus. Telling people about Jesus. And look what happens. Look at their testimony. See, people, one thing for people to hear you talk about Jesus and hear you praising Jesus, but people want to see some shoe leather in your life. That ain't too much to ask of you. That's not too much to ask of anybody. If you're going to tell me that Jesus does X, Y, Z, this, that, and the other, then shouldn't I ought to see something in your life that demonstrates it? Look what happened with Paul and Silas. They're there and they're singing and they're praising God and they're telling people about Jesus. And then God sends the earthquake and the prison doors fall open.